This is the Kestrel Country Podcast, where we discuss the people, places, and events all around Kestrel Country. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Kestrel Country Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Church, joined once again by my lovely wife and co-host, Catherine.
Hello, hello.
It's almost Christmas.
It's practically here.
Or it should be when this episode drops. We are continuing the Christmas at Home series with Elise.
Elise Crappyshutz.
Yeah. Yep. And it's kind of spelled the way it sounds.
Yes, it is. But Elise and Andrew do Christmas big. You know, they love Christmas lights and love Christmas. So it's a fun one. Elise talks about her trip over to the German markets.
Oh, awesome.
At Christmas time.
Yeah. They are responsible for the giant Merry Christmas sign on the silos here.
Yep.
And we've had, is this the first time Elise has been on the podcast?
It is.
Yeah. But Andrew's been on talking about the Eddington development as well as Red Balloon .work. So we've had Andrew on before. But yeah, be good to talk to Elise. Hopefully you're finding this series helpful, getting prepared for Christmas.
I'm giving you ideas.
This should be the last one before Christmas, right?
So. It is the last one before Christmas, but we do have one to get you between Christmas and New Year's.
Sneak preview. Yeah. Sneak preview. Yeah. Very good.
Because the party continues a little bit.
Good. Okay. Well, we hope that you all are having wonderful Advent preparations for Christmas. And have a very, very Merry Christmas from all of us at Kestrel. And let's get into the episode with Elise.
Elise Crappyshutz, welcome to the Kestrel Country Podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks for being willing to jump on board.
Thanks for having me.
We are going through our Christmas at Home and discussing all sorts of things all about Christmas. Pretty much the door's wide open as soon as we start talking Christmas.
Of course.
But before we launch into it, I want a little bit about you. So what brought you to Moscow? What do you do here? And tell us a little bit about your family.
So I came to Moscow about 20-something years ago, just over 20 years ago. And I was just taking a year off of grad school. And then I ended up meeting my husband at the very end of that year. I went back, finished grad school, and then came back and married him. And
which is a fun story, too.
Yes, it is. And then 9 months and 1 week later, we had our first of 5 kids. Our oldest is now working for my husband and hoping to actually go to Zambia next year. And we have 4 others still at home. They go to Logos. I teach at Logos, which means I get to hang out with them and see all their friends and see what they're doing with their lives, which I love. And my husband runs a company locally, and he's run a number of them, and he's doing a housing development as well, which has been really a learning experience. But I did grow up down south, so it's a very different world than Moscow, and a lot of cultural and weather changes.
The weather the biggest adjustment for you?
Oh, probably a while. I don't know if it was the weather, but the weather is a really big thing, and just having 4 seasons is lovely. I was actually in Mississippi this past weekend, and this gal was talking about how she does serve her family soup, but it might be 85 degrees outside. But like the calendar says it's time for soup. It's just the weather might not cooperate with that. And I remember as a kid, you'd have soup and think, but why?
Do you crank the AC? I feel like someone just recently made this comment about cranking the AC up.
Okay, so here's the thing. When wool or silk gets hot, like it smells really bad, which you don't know up here because you don't experience that ever. But down south, because you're pretending that it's cold outside so you can wear your cute Christmas clothes, you will find out that actually that cute Christmas sweater smells terrible. It's really hot. So then you would need to crank the AC. So
see, it is. It's just
smells so bad.
So it's all because of that.
And so you can feel like it's legit. Like
right, because you want to wear this the plaid and you want to wear the cozy. Yeah.
The little velvet dress or shirt or whatever. Yeah, but you don't need to.
It makes it easier for fancy evening attire.
Oh, it does.
Because you're not freezing with all the sleeveless. Yes,
you're always wearing sleeveless. Yes. And it turns out you're never going to be cold. I mean, you might be a little bit cold. But
because of the AC.
Not so much. But when I first moved here, I remember I was just taking a year off of school. So I was living with some girls. And this gal says, well, I mean, I think I'd just gotten here. And she says, oh, yeah, I've just put away my shorts. And I thought, well, why would a person put away their shorts? Because what if it's 75 degrees one day in January? And it's not.
No.
Ever. No. 75 degrees one day in January.
We get the fake out. And I don't know if it usually hits January or February. It probably varies. Yes. But we get a fake spring. Mm-hmm. And then it comes back very hard.
With a vengeance.
Yes. Like, yeah. Why would you think that?
There's that one February. Do you remember this when it was like 4 feet of snow? And we thought we'd made it through winter. And it was the second week of February it started.
And it didn't. I think it was every day. Wasn't it?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And when you have a long driveway, as we do, that is a lot of plowing. And eventually we had my husband can plow some of it, but then we will pay somebody to plow. And the guy said, I actually don't have anywhere else to put the snow.
Well, that problem when you see the Berminator going down the street, you know, which is a good thing. But if you haven't merged over soon enough and you can't actually make it.
No, but they used to not have the thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember.
And their cars would try.
Oh, yeah. And you'd see, like, oh, that didn't go so well.
No, you're a little car. You can't make it over the berm.
No. And, I felt like we'd really arrived as a town when we got that thing, the Berminator, that got rid of the berms.
All of it. It's amazing.
So you could access all the lanes.
Yes.
Very exciting.
It is exciting. Well, so that move from the South, as we segue into talking about traditions.
Yes.
Which might come from the South too. And I'm curious if you've kept any of your traditions going up. But as we're approaching it, what do you guys do for Advent?
We do. So we had early on when we were first married or had little kids, we did try to do something like every night we'll do a fun thing for Advent. But when our third child was born on December 19th, and that was the end of trying to do something every night for Advent. Not going to survive this. And I was right. I don't think I would have. And he was in the hospital for 9 days. So it was like a long thing. Anyway, ever after, we do Advent presents on a little present for everyone that I do not wrap every Saturday of Advent. And so the first one is always jammies. Mm-hmm. And it should be slippers, which I totally forgot to buy.
Do you do those every year or just if they need new slippers? Well, are they Christmas?
They keep growing.
Well, there's that.
So I do feel like, but the one child who's, actually the two children, whose feet aren't growing, I really should get on this. And I'm glad we're having this chat.
And this is a good thing. Well, I'm appreciating the slippers because that was not brought up yet.
Are important because they're like, they need the warm, cozy slippers. Mm-hmm. And you can get some really cute ones. But it's a good time to replace them.
It is a good time. Do you do a hard sole bottom, you know, like where it has the rubber bottom? Or what is your slipper of choice?
Yes. So for the girls, it depends like what has the pom-pom on the front. So mm-hmm. That's the pom-pom's more important than the sole.
It doesn't need the comfort care. Or the arch support.
But the boys always get the L.L. Bean ones or something like that where they could
like a house around.
Shoe. Yeah, it's more of
although
a house
then shoe. You're in that interesting dilemma. We're going off Christmas, but in the dilemma of you could wear those outside, like for a quick sprint.
Do you know one of my children decided recently he could wear slippers to school?
How did that go over?
Exactly like you'd expect.
So was he barefoot for the rest of school or did he?
No, but it got this uniform violation. I was like, of course I didn't see it. He just left with, I think he went with his sister that day. And he says, well, it was a fight night day, so they have,
leeway.
They have some leeway, but you still have to wear tennis shoes. I said, what is this? What happened here? How did you get slippers? And what made you think that would ever work? And he said, well, I thought it was kind of like these other shoes I have. No, it was not at all like those other slippers.
Although, to be fair, because I was just looking at shoes yesterday, there are some that really do have a slipper-esque look about them.
It's the shearling inside, yes, it kind of looks
like. It looks like it could be a slipper.
Yes. I think the idea is to make you feel like you're wearing a slipper when you're not.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
which was Uggs, I think, from the get-go. But
yes. Yes, that is a confusing trend to me. Yes. But it's not going away, so I should get over it.
Yes. And the comfort thing. Well, anyways, so the slippers. I'm really liking the slippers.
And then we did, one year we did like a competition where it was guys versus girls, and they had like Christmas Lego things and who could build it the fastest. They were a little bit younger for that. But anyway, so we've done things like that, or a game that we're giving to all of them. So one time we gave them, and they get like more exciting as we go. Mm-hmm. So one year I think they got I don't play it. So whatever does Mario Kart. What's the thing that does Mario?
Well, I don't know. There's different like Nintendo, but it just ranges.
I don't even know.
Yes, there's
but they
Xbox.
They seemed excited.
That's good. That's good.
And clearly I didn't buy it.
Yes.
My husband bought it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, but they were that kind of thing where it's something they can all do together. So
that's really
we usually
fun.
Do it at a Sabbath meal on Saturday night. Everybody gets their gifts.
Do you put them on your plates or just bring it out?
Oh, that'd be a fun idea.
Okay. No. Well, there you go.
I hand it to them after they finish eating when I remember I'm supposed to give you gifts.
Oh, well, see, the one that hits me is Sinterklaas, which is December 6th.
Okay. And is that the same thing as the Saint, what's her name?
Saint. Oh, no, Santa Lucia.
Okay.
Different things.
Okay.
Different heritages. Although the December 6th one is also, I think, referred to as Santa Claus Day or various versions from different cultures. The Sinterklaas is the Dutch. And so that's where you put the wooden shoes out.
Oh, yeah.
And then hopefully get them filled with various things. But that's the one that usually always sneaks up on me. And we do it because Mike's half Dutch. And
okay.
There's no Dutch in me at all. But that's the one. And it's like, oh, you know, so that's a very small one. But quickly, what do we have that we can put in there?
One of my kids has a kid. So we were just talking before we started about how there's no one more devoted to a tradition than a child. And so I teach ninth graders. And I realized years ago that you can't ask them when to open stockings because you've never seen children get so upset about the fact that someone else would open stockings at a different time. But one of the students actually sort of meekly said last year, well, I do it on December 6th. And it was, I think it was so beyond that no one even knew what to do. They were like,
they couldn't even argue.
That's just, oh no. Okay. Anyway, let's
so
move
wrong.
On.
So wrong.
Yes. And I told my 11th graders last year, I said, you know, you're probably going to marry someone with different Christmas traditions. And one of them says, well, just in 15 seconds, I'm resigned to a life of celibacy. It was so great. I was like, I'm sorry to ruin your life, but
Christmas will change.
Yeah. How could it be?
In college, my freshman year, I wrote some paper on, you know, how Christmas trees have to be real.
Oh, that's funny because it's like an invitation to never have a real tree when you grow up.
Well, now I have as fake as you can get because we went for it with the total white flocked. Because if we're going to go fake,
like go big,
and then the huge white and fluffy. Right?
Oh, that's awesome.
And the lights that you can set to different things.
Why not?
Because why not? You know, so we did that a few years back and it's like, oh man, I love this fake white tree.
It's so great. Now, my dad's allergic to real trees, so we never had a real tree growing up. So I didn't.
At least that's more of a reasonable excuse. I grew up with a real tree all the time.
I found it stressful when we had a real tree. We did it one year and it's so stressful to me that it might die. And will it die before Christmas? And so my mom also really loved decorating the tree. And it, when I say loved, like you've never seen a person put lights on a tree the way my mom did it. I think there were 5,000 lights on a 10-foot tree that she individually, you know, she put
like
them
every
on
branch.
Every single, not on even every branch, plus every little tiny part that sticks out from the branch had lights on it.
It's impressive.
So they turned the heat off in that room because it was so hot from the Christmas lights. But anyway, so you can do that. If you have to do it every year, you would not. But
no.
And I think that was before they even did LEDs.
So right. So then it really would.
Often,
yeah.
But it was
yeah.
hot too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we have a fake tree as well. So okay. I'm not stressed. And then my family comes to visit after Christmas, you know, the 27th. And so
it's still alive.
It's still alive.
Yes.
And it remains alive.
Yes.
And we do a, it's usually, I mean, early in Advent, right after Thanksgiving, might even be the day after Thanksgiving or the Saturday after Thanksgiving, we decorate the tree. And it's, we always try and get ornaments from places we've traveled. And so that's really fun.
It's so fun. The ornaments are really fun.
Yeah.
Do you do multiple trees?
you know, I've thought I should, and we've had trees in the kids' rooms before, but they're just a tragic little thing. I mean, it's so sad looking because I don't know if they don't take good care of them, or it's probably because we buy them cheap ones.
Yeah.
And they look like it.
Yeah. And so, they're very sparse.
Yes. And they're just droopy a little bit. So anyway, no, we just have one main tree. Yeah. It would be fun to have other ones, but someday, maybe.
Yes. It just depends on how everything shakes out.
Yeah.
It is. It's funny. Well, or then there's the people who are diehard on the Boy Scout trees or heading out into the woods and cutting one down, the Charlie Brown tree.
I know, but if you
and
say.
And it's fun.
Yeah, but I have said before to someone, oh, you got a Charlie Brown tree. And then I realized they don't think of that as a Charlie Brown tree. So,
so that was an insult.
Just maybe stop commenting on people's fabulous live trees.
Well, and we've done a mix over the years, but it is funny. It's just, it's a very, you know, people have very strong opinions about it. It's a good debate topic.
Every last tradition, mm-hmm. they have very strong opinions about. But I actually love this because it's such a reflection of, yes, we're all unified. Christmas is really important and we should celebrate Christmas. And we love that Jesus came and
right.
he's in the flesh incarnate. But the way it fleshes out in different families is totally different.
And completely.
I love how, should you sing Christmas songs before or after Thanksgiving? Die Hard rules on this.
Yes.
I just love seeing the different families and that the kids are so devoted.
Oh, yeah.
To whatever it is.
Yes. That this is what we should do. Thoroughly convinced in their own mind.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And how dare your classmates not have the same tradition?
Or I can't break believe it. The rule of music.
Yes.
That's a big
one. Oh, yes.
It is a big one. Yeah. So, okay. So we've hit the jammies. We've hit the big presents. Do you do any? So leading up, so what else do you add in?
Sometimes it'll be like, oh, books about Christmas, you know, things that mm-hmm. you would, or it'd be Christmas clothes, like a Christmas t-shirt or Christmas socks. Oh, actually always Christmas socks. And because everybody needs new socks all the time anyway.
All the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it's fun and it's exciting. And then it might be toys or puzzles or games or something that mm-hmm. everybody could enjoy, but isn't like a huge thing, but you might be able to enjoy it during the season.
Yeah, that's fun. That's really fun.
And then, and I don't, as they get older, you know, they're harder to buy for.
It is. It is harder to buy for, or it's just more expensive to buy for.
Yes.
But it's changes from that because we don't want to just get stuff and accumulate it,
yeah.
you know, more kitschy or whatever, or if they don't have a spot for it. But it is an interesting. Have you leaned into taking them or doing an experience? Because that's sometimes a thing.
Well, one time when Annabelle was, so Annabelle is our second child and she's 17. So it's been 8 or 9 years ago. I took her to Germany and we did a Christmas market. That was amazing. It was so fun. She just really wanted to do this. And so we went with my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, and my niece, and did in Nuremberg Christmas markets. Super fun. And then we traveled in 2019, which turned out to be like a swan song given how 2020 was.
Yeah.
But we went to between Thanksgiving and or the week of Thanksgiving, we did Portugal, and then we ended up stopping a night in Paris and got to see all the Christmas decorations in Paris, which was amazing. And my parents used to live in Hong Kong, so we would see the Hong Kong Christmas decorations were incredible.
Really?
Just intense. So we've gotten to see some different Christmas decorations in different places and see the ways people celebrate. It's been really fun.
Did you pull back something besides an ornament or buy something big from each of those locations?
I thought it would be fun to do a Christmas market. So 1 year we did a Christmas market.
Yes, there's that.
Yeah, so I guess so.
Yes.
We did. That was a tradition we did. But other than that, I don't know. I'd have to think about that. But we have just gone and seen other things people do. We also do the Nutcracker. We sometimes go see that. It's like every 3 years or something. But
And it's fun to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's a fun thing. So anyway, we just try and I'll come clean. I am a after Thanksgiving Christmas song person. When the dessert dishes are being done for Thanksgiving, we may turn on the Christmas music.
Yep.
Partly because we try and go full bore and I can't keep up for more than a month. And it was interesting. I asked some of my 11th graders, like, what do you do and why and what do you think is best on the Christmas music? And some of them said, you know, those Christmas songs are awesome, but you do get tired of them.
And, yeah, that's why you have to limit it.
And then, I mean, because you're listening to it 24/7,
non-stop. It feels like.
Yes.
And it is kind of funny. I don't feel like there's a lot of new Christmas songs that stick. And maybe
no,
that's just us.
Maybe that's me because I'm like, I don't like that song.
Right. It's just, that's not Christmas.
That's.
And so it is funny. You're kind of like, what does it take?
We're just devoted to tradition as exactly. the children, but we blame it on them. We're like, no, look how broad-minded we are.
Yes. Nobody knows how to write Christmas music anymore.
Yeah. So maybe it's not just the kids.
It might not be. So what about decorating? What do you do or what are your tips on decorating?
Well, we do a bunch of nutcrackers, actually. And we've gotten nutcrackers from different places that we've been, which is fun. And
do you know your total number of nutcrackers?
That is strategically something I do not know.
Do the kids try to count? I'm just curious because my kids will try to count the nativity sets that my mother-in-law has because she has a lot.
There's also a thing about – I do have a number of nativity sets and they're kind of like, do you see how many you have? Like, I don't know how many I have.
Yes.
I don't know.
Plausible deniability.
Yes. And eventually I'm pretty sure they're going to count and point it out to me, but thus far they have refrained. But I'm just trying to not know. It's enough to fill all the shelves in a room that has shelves, a lot of shelves. But it's because the kids love decorating. They're super excited about it. They enjoy going and getting everything out and putting it all up. And it's really exciting. Mm-hmm. And I'm very grateful they do it because it's a lot.
It's a ton of work. It is a ton of work.
Yeah.
You have to swap stuff out. You have to move things around. I mean, it's completely worth it.
It is. But month, it is. I can do it for a month. Yes. And then I'm like, can we put everything away and clean up?
Yes. Which brings us actually to another thing is the 12 days of Christmas. You've got the people who are diehard to celebrate that. And then the people who are like January 1st, it's done.
No, some people are December 26th. Get that tree out of here. I can't take that.
Yeah.
My family usually comes and stays. And so, and they've done that for like 10 years. And then we celebrate for a whole week. So the week between Christmas and New Year's. So everything stays up and it's just more of a mess because 19 people in the house is a lot.
Yeah. And all the Christmas decorations.
Yes. Plus the Christmas decorations, which are everywhere. I mean, we change out some of the pictures and I change out like all the linens and all like we use all Christmas napkins all every day of
Christmas dishes.
Christmas. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We have Christmas dishes, Christmas cups, Christmas dishes in the hutch, Christmas, like everywhere. Everything is Christmas, which I love. Mm-hmm. It's fabulous. And then back to our less cluttered life.
Yes. The January.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. What about lights on the exterior?
Well, there was no point in that because so one time Andrew and the kids built this like what Andrew thought was going to be a really awesome star. And it was awesome. It was 16 feet. You think that's reasonable? It was like a dot because we live on a hillside. We live on a lot of acres. And so if you were right next to it, you could see that it was a large star. Otherwise, if you were driving towards the house, it was a joke.
Yeah. So you'd have to just be on the hillside and do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we don't, we actually own some downtown buildings and that's where we do exterior lights galore. We love that. We love people decorating their buildings and having the town look really festive. But at our house, I don't even put wreaths on the outside. I just put them on the inside.
Well, because the wind probably
we have
too.
Tons of wind.
Yeah.
Yeah. 50 mile an hour winds and wreaths are not.
They're gone.
Yeah, it doesn't work out. And so we've done Christmas lights, but then actually we did them on our trees outside. It was fun, but then sometimes Andrew would run over the cord with the plow, and that's less fun.
Yeah. Or get tangled up in something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nope, that makes sense.
So,
which is part of the winter aspect to consider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit, we don't do as much. Do you do them?
We do them on our house, but we're down low, right? Where we are, you know, so we've got the hill behind us, which kind of protects things. And so we do a lot of Christmas lights on the exterior. And some of them are up year round because they're cafe lights. And that just lights the yard and lights the patios and stuff. But my hot tip is to have them on a timer. Because if you have them turned on when you're coming home, because it gets dark so early.
It does.
It's much more cheerful to come home to a house that's all bright on the outside than dark and gloomy.
Yeah.
You know,
really, we have our porch lights on a timer, but for the same kind of reason.
It is. And in the morning too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my hot tip on that. But you mentioned your family coming over. So hospitality, how do you do big hospitality during Christmas?
So we talked about the driveways. Well, a little bit. Our driveway is pretty slick and we're outside of town. So, and it's steep. Mm-hmm. So we don't host lots of events in December at our house or lots of, you know, people for dinner or something, because that's, people tend to enjoy something more if they think that they can reliably use their car there and back and won't end up in
spending
a
the night
snowbank. It just is a real damper on the evening. Mm-hmm. So, but when my family comes, they're there for a week, and that's very different than just having someone over for dinner, because they're still hungry at breakfast and at lunch and all the other times in between. So, I end up making food ahead of time, and then actually my sisters-in-law and my parents will make a meal each night.
Oh, nice.
Which is great. A lot of restaurants are closed that week, so it's not – and anyway, if you're a group that big, who wants to really go?
Well, we don't really have the restaurants that can handle
no,
that kind of stuff.
They really can't, and so nobody cares. You know, pizza is great or whatever, but I also buy like big things of popcorn or which I don't have around the house normally. In our normal life, I don't have fudge on the counter all the time.
Just on the tray ready for anybody.
But the nice part is if you're constantly making food while there's a bunch of people at your house, someone will eat it, especially because a lot of them are kids or, you know, teenagers. There's always someone hungry. So I get a bite of it without having found out that I've eaten half a cake.
Right.
So whoops.
Or the brownie pan or whatever.
Yes. And then I'll order things like a bûche de Noël. I just order that online because it's like, I really want to have that. But I also know that if I'm trying to make things all the time, I'm not going to be able to make all the things. Mm-hmm. And then make bread ahead of time or whatever I can. And my sister-in-law used to host, and she was amazing. Like, she would make a lasagna ahead of time, and she would make soup ahead of time, and she would make things so that it was always, there's always something. And because, again, just because it's lunch doesn't mean people aren't hungry.
Right.
Actually.
It is one of those things when you're making a huge – well, Thanksgiving is coming up right now as we're recording this. But where you're like, why do we have to eat? Why do you have to eat besides the big meal?
No, I know, because they'll be like 3 hours later. So what are we eating? I think, well, you're eating what I already made, because I don't – there's no second option here.
How are you – why are you hungry?
Why are you hungry? Yes, have another piece of pie.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, that – so lots of freezer prep. Where do you order your bûche de Noëls? Do they do a really good job?
William Sonoma has one that I like. And then the popcorn is Popcornopolis. I mean, like, at this point I have.
You have the staples, which is good to know, though.
Yes. And then I have little candy, like Christmas candy stuff for that I, well, because I like hazelnut chocolate. And so I'm not going to go buy that normally, but it's Christmas.
So at Christmas.
And a lot of people will eat it. So, which is how you end up with all kinds of food everywhere.
Yeah.
But
what you need when you've got 20 plus people probably with you.
Yes. And they're always hungry. And no person walks through the kitchen without grabbing something. It's amazing. And the kitchen's kind of central. So it's
every
constant.
Yeah.
And a honey baked ham, like Nancy Wilson one time said, I think it was some sort of like potluck or something. It wasn't a potluck, but it was a ladies fellowship event or something. She's like, always have a ham. Because if everything else is gone,
they'll eat it.
Yes. And it always looks like you have a lot there. And
it's a good tip.
It was a great tip.
And it's protein and salt. Yes. So, you know, just to help people.
It's a lot of things.
It hits a lot of areas. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's actually very useful. And it's amazing how fast people can go through something like that.
Yeah, it really is. Okay. So we're going to be winding down. But I wanted to find out either your most favorite Christmas food or just the most favorite Christmas tradition.
Oh, I really should know this.
You could do both. It's fine.
I could do if I could think what is my favorite. So we do Christmas Eve with my in-laws, and then Christmas morning we do with our kids. And I really love that they, you know, they don't know what they're getting, or they figured it out, depending. But I did actually start giving them names that aren't their names on the presents years ago. So it'll be like somewhere we've traveled or something we've done that year. Mm-hmm. And each person has a name. And that way they don't know whose gifts are whose under the tree. Super helpful.
Has that ever backfired though? Do you keep a track somewhere?
I keep a track. Okay. And Annabelle made me this incredible planner, which is so cute. And she decorated every page of like, what did you buy for these people? What did you buy for Advent? Is it bought? Is it delivered? Is it? I'm sure there's an app for this.
Oh, but she just did her own.
But it's super cute little planner. So I have that. But and then I can tell who they are.
Yes.
It's kind of important.
Yes.
So anyway, I love Christmas morning. It's so fun. And I mean, who doesn't love Christmas morning, I guess. And then we do stockings after breakfast.
Mm-hmm. On Christmas.
Yes, on Christmas. Because I actually really like having something else. Like you've gotten all the presents and then you have
that last thing to look forward
really
to.
Really fun. And as far as Christmas food, I mean, I just like steak, but I kind of like it year round. But we always have steak for Christmas. And I know those British people have turkey, bless their hearts. That's awful.
Well, it's funny. We had Francis on last year, and we talked about food, and he was talking about birds are kind of the thing. But it wasn't necessarily turkey. I mean, I might have to double check on that. But still, he was talking about
they do a
goose. But he was talking about the preparations. And of course, if Francis made it.
Well, he's not British. I mean, British is.
That's true.
He's British. French. Are wonderful people.
But it's not. British and French are totally different on the culinary cooking spectrum. Styles. Yes. Yes. It is funny. This is totally aside. But I got this British cookbook. And at first I was like, well, is anything going to be okay in here? And it's actually been fantastic.
Oh, that's
a
good.
Lot of the recipes have, all of them that we've done, they've been great. So, you know. My assumption was wrong on that one.
Well, in the Great British Baking Show. I mean, we don't know if it tastes good, but
right, it's pretty. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. So absolutely. So Christmas morning. And then any tip on how to go big at Christmas?
I think, well, I don't even know what I would go big. Like all, I think you just go all in. And it is amazing. People are willing to, like, we have hosted like a company dinner or something like that at our house because there's not a lot of locations that you could go. And people are willing to squeeze in and do also like be inconvenienced in wild ways because it's Christmas.
Yeah.
And there's clutter all over your house because it's Christmas decorations and there's music, the same exact song going over and over because it's Christmas. And you're spending an amount in a month that you would not ever normally spend because it's Christmas, but it is, those are the things that the kids actually remember. And they don't remember necessarily probably the individual things, but they remember loving Christmas. That's really the point. I mean, you should love this because Jesus came.
Yeah.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
So I love that everyone's involved. I actually love seeing the lights go on the buildings, and y'all do now. Y'all host the Christmas lights.
Yes, although we're switching it a little bit this year.
Ooh, but, what are you going to do?
Well, because of just life, we're downsizing it this year, and then we'll hopefully, but just enough to maintain it, so that we can go big again with it in the future. Hopefully,
because it's overwhelming.
It's a lot,
actually.
It's a lot of work, and it's super fun. And I absolutely love the Christmas light competition. I just love it, but it is a lot of work, and it's asking a lot from a lot of people. Those judges have to. It takes a lot of time.
And trying to figure out how to make it a little bit. Because Christmas season, you just feel like, I couldn't survive this for another week.
If we keep going.
Yeah.
And so I do think it's probably healthy to have it be flexible and take a little bit of a change.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
But not be done with it. No. It's, you know, it'll still
be. And I remember Rachel Jank once said something about, I realized I make all these different treats or do all these different traditions, but I don't have to do every single one every single year.
Right. And I think that helps because it does make them extra special when they do come back because you're wanting it again. It's kind of like hitting the nutcracker. If you hit it every year, I mean, some people might completely
love it. Some people love it, and that's their thing.
But if you've hit it every few years, it makes it special.
And again, the kids, it's like kids aren't going to remember every meal that you ever feed them, but they are, God still uses it to grow them up.
Right. Exactly.
So anyway. Well,
thank you so much.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it.
It was fun.
Thanks for joining us. Like, share, subscribe. We'll see you next week.